Now, let me bring up one more thing in connection with this. On the American plains, in the late 19th century, 1880, something like that, the buffalo were systematically killed off by Buffalo Bill and so forth. These were buffalo hunting scouts that were sent out to clear out the buffalo herds. The railroad way had been built across the plains, and buffalo herds could not be allowed to get on the tracks. This would all be very dangerous. Furthermore, by killing off the buffalo, you were causing the Indians to lose their food supply, and they'd have to go onto the reservations to receive handouts. When I was a kid, the world was full of buffalo blankets. The buffalo were simply killed and skinned and the pelts taken and sold wholesale, you might say. Thousands and thousands. Whenever we'd go for a sleigh ride, there'd be a buffalo blanket to put over your knees. As a result of this, the center of the social mythology of the Indians was erased. In this mythology, the whole psyche is brought out, and one is related to his own unconscious through the images of one's society. The society is the mirror through which you keep in touch with your own unconscious. That's broken. So you have a dissociation. This is the wasteland motif again, in a quite specific context. And it was following that that the ecstasy cults became rampant over the American plains. It was following that extermination of the buffalo, the breaking of the social religious context, that peyote, the mescaline cult, came, eating peyote buttons and stirring up the images, the psychedelic movement. It seems to me that this is a perfectly analogous case to that of the contemporary moment, where the socially provided mythology has failed. There is a dissociation, a wasteland situation, so one turns inward to find those source powers. One can also show that in primitive societies, the mythological imagery is announced by shamans from their trance experiences. They go into their unconscious, which is essentially the unconscious of their neighbors, because everyone is living in a mythogenetic zone, a zone where the same influences are striking. Some people have a talent for going down, others don't. The ones who do are the shamans. The crisis comes, the shaman crisis, usually in early adolescence. A boy or a girl, where you have shamanism, males or females play the role, has a whole system of visions. Now, here I've given what I think might be called the main motifs of the hunting mythologies, the vision which supports everybody's life. Comes primarily from the shamans, but everybody has some degree of visionary experience. Among the American Indians, where the vision became democratized, so to say, the puberty rites for young boys consisted in daddy bringing the young boy out into a scary place in the forest, leaving him there for 4 days to fast with a little fire to keep the animals away and to invoke a vision. And the vision that would come to him would be his familiar. He wouldn't be able to predict in what form the vision would come, but this dream vision would announce to the boy what his career was to be, whether he was to be a great warrior, a great hunter, a great chieftain, a great shaman. And the boy would then be told by the vision what kind of fetish to fashion for himself, a medicine bag in which certain little things were put, special types of stone that he would see, or part of a bird or something like this, which then would be his reminder, his clue to his own vision. This is the counterpart of the Hindu mantra, reciting a certain syllable or so, you start your vision system going again, but here would be a little bag which you contemplate. This would then determine the boy's character, and he would bring this wisdom of his into the village. If later on he found he was lacking power, he would go to have another vision and might or might not have it.